In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Blessed feast of Palm Sunday, and we finally made it to Holy Week. And I'm sure at this point of Lent, the finish line feels very close, but also very far at the same time. But hang tight. We're in the home stretch, and we could either finish strong, or kind of lose focus and lose the momentum that we've had for the past, I don't know, 50 days or something. It kind of all depends on how we approach this upcoming week. So today is one of my favorite days in the church calendar. Everything about this feast is very beautiful, from the way the church is decorated, to the joyful tunes of the hymns, in moderation, relax deacons, to the atmosphere of the church. Just everything about this day feels very joyful. Okay? As the youth say, the vibes are immaculate, right? And I think that's what the youth say, I don't know. But really, there's just something in the air about this feast that you could really feel, right? There's a sense of anticipation that our King is really coming, and that brings with it a tremendous amount of joy. And I can imagine maybe that was the feeling that the people had welcoming Christ into Jerusalem. The last time Israel was actually free from any type of occupation at that time was about 100 years before Christ entered into Jerusalem. So they've been oppressed for very, very long, right? They were so broken, they were so beat down, they were so tired, that the second they thought Jesus was the Messiah who would free them from the Roman occupation, they were ready to declare their allegiance to him. They were ready to go out and chant Hosanna, which means save us. They were ready to throw down their clothes on the ground. They were ready to wave palm branches. And had he asked, they would have picked up swords and started a revolution against the Romans. So after all these years, you can maybe understand why they felt this amount of joy welcoming Christ into Jerusalem. But I don't want to focus too much on the people. I want to focus on Christ. I can imagine that he was the only one there who, despite all that was happening around him, he was not caught in the hoopla of it all. He was the only one in the entire city, really in the entire world, who knew why he was really going into Jerusalem to begin with. He was going to die. He had a mission. The people, on the other hand, had an agenda. So while the people focused on the freedom from the Romans, Christ was focused on freedom from sin. While the people were focused on throwing their clothes on the floor, Christ was focused on carrying the cross on his shoulders. So while the people were preparing to start a political revolution, Christ was preparing for a spiritual redemption for all of us. While they were chanting Hosanna, Christ was already hearing the echoes of crucify him that would come just a few days later. So even though their hopes were soaring because the Messiah was coming to deliver them, his heart was sinking at the same time. Okay? Because what he was about to go and do. So despite everything that was happening around him and the joy in the atmosphere, I can't help but think that he must have felt very, very lonely in a crowd of thousands of people that were there just for him to begin with. His heart must have been very, very heavy. Not only because if he knew what was coming just a few days later, but it was also heavy because he knew his love would be rejected. He knew that the people's cheers were very shallow. He knew their understanding is very incomplete. He knew their love is very conditional. As the Gospel of Luke puts it today, that as we read, as Christ approached the city, he cried over it because Jerusalem and its people did not know the things that make for their peace. Jerusalem, the city that's supposed to be the joy of all the earth, as Psalm 48 puts it, didn't know the joy that was being offered to her that day. Right? She was ignorant of who he is, what he wants, and what he came to do and offer. But despite all of that, he still entered the city. He didn't turn back. He didn't hesitate. He didn't protect himself from the pain that was waiting for him. But he kept moving forward with love, with intention, with purpose, because he wasn't coming to be celebrated, but he was coming to be crucified. This is what he came for, and he wasn't going to turn back around now. So Luke 9:51 actually says a beautiful verse, and kind of if you blink, you miss it. It says, when it was time for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was steadfast. He was, meaning he was firm, he was focused, he was resolute in his mission, and nothing was going to take that away from him. not the people, not the palms, not the cheers, not the leaders, and definitely not the pain of the cross. As we say in the liturgy, he was determined to give himself up for the life of the world. Keyword is determined. So he rode into Jerusalem determined to grant us salvation, determined to heal the broken, determined to find the lost, determined to guide the confused, determined to include the ones on the margin that are forgotten about, determined to give hope to the hopeless and strength to the weak. He was determined to save all of us as sinners, me and you included. He knew our weaknesses. He knew that some of us would reject him. He knew that some of us would harden our hearts to his love. He knew that some of us would misunderstand what he actually really wants from us. He knew that our love may be conditional. He knew that we would fail over and over and over again. He knew our shortcomings, our distractions, and the ugliness of our hearts. He even knew that we would crucify him every single day in our hearts. And yet, he was still determined to enter Jerusalem. He was on a mission. And in the same way he entered it, he wants to enter our hearts today and every day. He's not scared of what's in there. There is not too big of a mess for him to clean up, or too ugly of a sin that he can't take away. There's nothing that could separate us from his love, as St. Paul says. And these are not just words that are nice to hear to make ourselves feel better about things, but this is the truth. And he proves that by entering into Jerusalem despite knowing what's awaiting him. This is what makes Palm Sunday such a joyful feast, right? It's not about the palms and the hymns and the vibes, but it's about the deep and unconditional love of Christ towards us. And this deep and unconditional love requires a response from us. It has to. If it doesn't, then we're no different than the people who Christ wept over because they didn't know the things that would make for their peace. He's not looking for us to lay down palm branches and clothes on the floor. But he's looking for us to lay down the distractions, to lay down our pride, to lay down our divisions, to lay down our jealousies, our resentment, our hate towards others, to lay down our shame, our guilt and regret, to lay down our sin, and welcome him as the true King and Savior of our lives. So be it this week or after this week, we have to respond by making him our mission because he made us his. Don't have an agenda like the people did who wanted something from him. Don't make it an agenda to just participate and just kind of observe from far away. But have him as your only mission. Make your mission to be with Christ. Make your mission to accept his love and his forgiveness that he's offering you and me. Make your mission to draw closer to him into a deep and an intimate relationship with him. Make your mission to soften your heart towards him. Make your mission about allowing him into your heart, your pain, your sin, and your brokenness. Make your mission to know the things that make for your peace. Make your mission about going to the cross, entering the tomb, and resurrecting with him as a new person. Make your mission to give him your heart because that's all he wants. And he's willing to enter Jerusalem just to prove it to you. And this mission should not just be for this week, but for the every day after that, moving forward. So as we enter Holy Week, I want to encourage you to not get caught up in the outside noise and the hoopla of the week because Christ did not. Be entering Jerusalem at any point of this week. He was a man on a mission. Don't get caught up in planning for the feast, be it the food, the clothes, the gatherings, and all of that. Don't get caught up in this hymn or that hymn or this reading or that reading. Don't get caught up in the motions of the week and miss the actual person behind it all. Don't miss him. Don't miss him this week. Know the time of your visitation. Because if we walk through all the rites of Holy Week, attend all the services, hear all the readings and the sermons, say all the hymns, and plan a perfect feast, but still miss Christ, then we've missed the whole point altogether. Let this week be where we slow down a little bit, where we become quiet enough to hear his voice and still enough to feel his presence in our lives. A week where we're honest enough to confess our brokenness and courageous enough to let him into that brokenness. A week where we're determined to be with him despite everything that may be going on around us, Let this week be the week that we stop chasing everything else and start walking with him all the way to the cross. Because it's at the cross that we'll understand why he entered Jerusalem today to begin. So I pray as we celebrate this feast, that we may not make just this week, but our life's mission all about Christ, because he made his life's mission about us, individually and collectively. Right? St. John puts it best. He says, we love because he first loved us. Glory be to God forever.